Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapters 7 and 8. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we have a continuation of the dedication of the temple as well as another appearance of the Lord to Solomon. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, we have a number of Solomon's successes listed. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses of chapter 7. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. At that time, Solomon kept the 7 feast days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, where they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Let's begin our study of these two chapters, 2 Chronicles chapters 7 and 8, with some background notes. We've already mentioned that King Solomon chose the time of the Feast of Tabernacles as the time to dedicate the temple and bring the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies. In verse 1 here of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we see that after Solomon's prayer for the nation at the temple dedication, the fire of the Lord fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifices, showing God's approval and acceptance, and the people bowed down and worshiped. Verse 3. This was similar to what happened at the tabernacle, as we read in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. So fire for the altar of sacrifice at the tabernacle, as well as the fire for the new altar of sacrifice at the temple, was started by God himself. And according to Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, that fire was to be kept burning and was not to go out. We also see in verses 1 and 2 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 that the glory of the Lord, which had filled the temple when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the Holy of Holies in chapter 5, continues to fill the house of the Lord, so much so that the priests could not enter the temple. We see in verses 4 through 7 that there were so many sacrifices that even the new large altar could not handle all of them. And so Solomon consecrated the middle of the temple court, where the animals could be sacrificed. Now we know from the parallel passage in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63, that the 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep here in verse 5 were mostly peace offerings. That meant that a portion of these sacrifices could be used as food for both the priests and the many people gathered in Jerusalem for this great time of worship and celebration. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for 2 Chronicles 7 and 8. Doctrinal point number 1. God will bless the nation that seeks the Lord. God will bless the nation that seeks the Lord. Verses 12 through 22. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and embraced other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore he has brought all this calamity on them. This is the second time that the Lord appeared to Solomon. The first time, which was also at night, was back in chapter 1 when the Lord offered Solomon anything he asked for, and Solomon chose wisdom. Now in the second appearance, the Lord reiterated to Solomon the blessings and warnings of the Davidic covenant. God would bless his people in every way if they followed him, but would have to discipline his people if they forsook him, even to the point of removing them from the land that he had given them. Verse 14 is probably the best known verse in all of Chronicles. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land. In the context, this verse is given to Israel, but in application, based on the rest of Scripture, this is the key to blessing for any nation: to seek the Lord and turn from evil. This was the key to America's blessing in the past. This is the key to America's blessing in the future. God will bless the nation that seeks the Lord. Doctrinal point number 2. God will bless the leader who seeks the Lord. God will bless the leader who seeks the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 8, we see all the various areas of endeavor where Solomon was blessed as the leader of God's people. The overall teaching of this chapter is certainly our doctrinal point, that God will bless any leader who seeks the Lord. In verses 1 through 6, we see that God blessed Solomon's building projects. Let's read those verses. It came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, that the cities which Hiram had given to Solomon, Solomon built them, and he settled the children of Israel there. And Solomon went to Hamath, Zobah, and seized it. He also built Tadmor in the wilderness, and all the storage cities which he built in Hamath. He built upper Beth-horon and lower Beth-horon, fortified cities with walls, gates, and bars. Also Baaloth, and all the storage cities that Solomon had, and all the chariot cities, and the cities of the cavalry, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in all the land of his dominion. We know from 1 Kings chapter 9 that the cities mentioned here in verse 2 that Hiram gave to Solomon were originally given to Hiram by Solomon, but Hiram of Phoenicia considered them worthless and gave them back, and now Solomon rebuilds them. In verses 7 through 10, we see how God provided all the foreign labor needed for Solomon's building projects. Let's read those verses. All the people who were left of the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, who were not of Israel, that is, their descendants who were left in the land after them, whom the children of Israel did not destroy, from these Solomon raised forced labor as it is to this day. But Solomon did not make the children of Israel servants for his work. Some were men of war, captains of his officers, captains of his chariots and his cavalry, and others were chiefs of the officials of King Solomon, 250 who ruled over the people. Now, originally, these foreigners should have been eliminated from the land at the time of the conquest, but Israel failed at that time. Now we see God picking up the pieces of this failure and providing Solomon with forced labor from these foreigners. You know, God can do that for us as well. Pick up the pieces of our failures and turn them into blessing, which, by the way, in no way justifies or condones our failures. In verses 12 through 16, we read of Solomon's firm determination to offer all the sacrifices in accordance with the law and to make sure that all the divisions of the priests and the Levites were performing their duties in accordance with the directions that David had given them, which was the will of God. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built before the vestibule, according to the daily rate, offering according to the commandment of Moses for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three appointed yearly feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And according to the order of his father David, he appointed the divisions of the priests for their service, the Levites for their duties, to praise and serve before the priests as the duty of each day required. Now all the work of Solomon was well ordered from the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord until it was finished. So the house of the Lord was completed. No wonder the Lord blessed Solomon in the beginning of his reign. It's so sad to learn that Solomon later went downhill spiritually. In verses 17 and 18, we see that the Lord also blessed Solomon's commercial ventures. Then Solomon went to Ezion-Geber and Elat on the seacoast in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent him ships by the hand of his servants and servants who knew the sea. They went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and acquired 450 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. Ezion-Geber and Elat were at the north end of the Gulf of Aqaba, where Israel and Edom joined. Now, we don't know where Ophir was. Ophir was probably in Arabia, East Africa, or India. In any case, we see God's blessing on Solomon's leadership in all of these areas of endeavor. Now, the Bible does not guarantee material blessing to godly and dedicated Christian leaders today, but it does guarantee God's blessing for sure. God will bless the leader who seeks the Lord. Now, what about practical application? Don't play with fire. Don't play with fire. Now, where do we see that lesson taught in these chapters? Look at verse 11 of chapter 8. Now, Solomon brought the daughter of Pharaoh up from the city of David to the house he had built for her, for he said, "My wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places to which the ark of the Lord had come are holy." Solomon knew from God's law that Israel's kings were not to multiply wives for themselves, and he also knew from God's law that God's people should not intermarry with foreign pagans. But Solomon played with fire and married Pharaoh's daughter. Now, certainly he did this for strengthening political ties between Israel and Egypt, but it was wrong. And we see from his treatment of Pharaoh's daughter in verse 11 that Solomon had scruples about this whole affair because he knew it was wrong. But he played with fire. And 1 Kings chapter 11 shows that he got burned. This foreign wife, as well as many other foreign wives, turned his heart away from the Lord. Let's not make the same mistake. Don't dabble with sin. We know what God's word says. You don't walk into sin blindly. Don't play with fire.